We've been doing a survey of the New Testament on Sunday mornings, where I've been preaching, where we read the books of the New Testament. We've been working on that since the first of the year. I hope you've kept reading your New Testament. This week is to be the reading of the book of Hebrews, and a copy of the outline of the book of Hebrews is on the table at the back of the auditorium. Prayerfully, maybe you're saying that too, the next couple of Sundays will conclude my survey of the New Testament, but hopefully we'll be through all of us reading it by that time. This morning, though, instead of giving a lesson on the book of Hebrews, I'm going to give you an all-scripture lesson on the life of Christ. Now, the lesson is going to be interspersed with songs led by Dennis. Now, if we're coordinated right, this is all going to work on these songs. If it's not, we've got books too, so we can do both, but that's the plan. One time when I did this, a person was going out, and they said, that was a scriptural sermon. Well, hopefully, this is going to be one too. Dennis is going to lead us in an opening song, and then Rick is going to lead us in prayer after that song, and then I'll start reading again. Dennis?
As a deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. Be a good example for this community and the church. We pray that
bring you honor. Heavenly Father, we bring you honor and glory as we live our lives here. Be with us through the service, and again, be pleased with you. We ask in Jesus' name.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. And everyone went to his own town to register. And so Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the field nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." And so they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive.
After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Did you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. And Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and men. Now Jesus himself was about 30 years old. And in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the desert of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." People went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan, and confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, "I need to be baptized for you, and do you come to me?" Jesus replied, "Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness." And then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water, and at that moment heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love, and with him I am well pleased." At once the Spirit sent him out into the desert, and he was in the desert 40 days, being tempted by Satan. And Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve him only.'" Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him.
Yield not to temptation, for healing is sin.
Disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you falsely, and say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You have heard that it has been said, 'Eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth,' but I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if someone wants to take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. If someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. You have heard it has been said, 'Love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. This then is how you should pray: 'Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive those who sin against us and who are our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And so do not worry, say, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all of these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be yours as well. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rains came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished these sayings, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood.
Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven." And then he warned his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Christ. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem, that he must suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed on the third day be raised to life. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves, and there he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. And just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. And Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it's good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up 3 shelters, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, a bright cloud enveloped them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell face down on the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. "Get up," he said. "Don't be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus instructed them, "Don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world should not have room for the books that would be written.
Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see, wonderful words of life. Words of life and beauty, teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Christ the Blessed One gives to all wonderful words.
As he looked up, Jesus saw the rich putting their gifts into the temple treasury, and he also saw a poor widow put in two very small copper coins. Then one of the 12, the one called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and asked, "What are you willing to give me if I hand him over to you?" And so they counted out for him 30 silver coins. From then on, Judas watched for an opportunity to hand him over. Then came the day of unleavened bread, on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. And when the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table. And the Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. And on reaching the place, he said to them, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." And he withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down, and he prayed, "Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me, and yet not my will, but yours be done." An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. And when he rose from prayer and went back to the disciples, he found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. "Why are you sleeping?" he asked them. "Get up and pray so that you will not fall into temptation." While he was still speaking, a crowd came up, and the man who was called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He approached Jesus to kiss him, but Jesus asked him, "Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" They seized him, they led him away, and they took him into the house of the high priest. And very early in the morning, the chief priests with the elders, the teachers of the law, and the whole Sanhedrin reached a decision. They bound Jesus and they led him away and handed him over to Pilate. Wanting to satisfy the crowd, Pilate had Jesus flogged and he handed him over to be crucified.
They tried my Lord.
They tried my Lord.
There was a written notice above him which read, "This is the King of the Jews." It was now about the sixth hour, and darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour, for the sun stopped shining, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And when he had said this, he breathed his last. As evening approached, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who had himself become a disciple of Jesus. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body, and Pilate ordered that it be given to him. Joseph took the body, wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, and placed it in his own new tomb that he had cut out of the rock. He rolled a big stone in front of the entrance to the tomb, and then he went away. The women who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed Joseph and saw the tomb and how his body was laid in it. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were as white as snow. The guards were afraid of him, and they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay, and then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He is risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee, and there you will see him. Now I have told you.' And so the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid and yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. And then he appeared to Peter and to the 12. And after that, he appeared to more than 500 of his brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. And then he appeared to James, and then to all of the apostles." God sent his Son. They called him Jesus. He came to love you and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. And if the grave is there to prove my Savior lives, because he lives, I can face tomorrow.
I'll know even.
Then Jesus came to them and said, "This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned." After he said this, he was taken up before their eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way that you have seen him go into heaven. And he will give relief to you who are troubled and to us as well. And this will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels. He will punish those who do not know God and those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the majesty of his power. Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the peoples of the earth will mourn because of him. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. And so you must also be ready, because the Son of Man will come in an hour when you do not expect him." Jesus answered, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you love me, you will obey what I command. Come. Come." That invitation is still applicable. He is risen. And if you need to come to the Lord this morning, will you come as we say? And as we say, the invitation.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See on the portals, he's waiting and watching, watching for you. Jesus.